Hi, my name's Graham Blanks. As we just heard from the disciples and their impact on Jesus' ministry, I'm reminded of a quote by Jim Rohn. You're the average of the five people you surround yourself with. Although many people have heard this quote solely in the context of the social sphere, this theory is highly applicable in the business world. Specifically, many knowledgeable businessmen and entrepreneurs know this idea better as the law of averages, the theory that the result of any given situation will be the average of all outcomes. For example, if a salesman wants to double or triple his sales, he must double or triple the amount of calls he makes. Consequently, while this businessman may double or triple his yeses through this process, he will also be doubling or tripling his noes. This holds true in forming relationships. Sure, you may meet and get along with thousands of people and ultimately friends throughout your lifetime, but you will also meet people that aren't as easy to get along with and that you may form no relationship with at all. Typically, a common goal or belief is what brings groups of people together, and this is evident with disciples and their journey to spread the gospel. It's proven that humans are greatly affected by their environment, oftentimes being the people you're surrounded with. If you ask someone what they believe is the best environment for a human, they would likely say something along the lines with being surrounded by people that are supportive of you. While this is somewhat true, it is also vital to have people in your life that are critical of your actions and will push you to be the best version of yourself. A study conducted by the Journal of Consumer Research found that novices tend to prefer positive feedback on their projects and work, while experts heavily favor negative feedback. Why is this? With negative feedback, professionals are able to identify and correct their faults and issues, hence improving their body of work. It's essential to have a source of critique in your life, otherwise you may overlook the flaws you have and never be able to fix them. So what is a good environment for a human? For me, it's being surrounded by people in your life that will challenge you and push you to be the best, these people being better than you in a variety of ways. Sure, it's great to be the smartest person in the room, but how are you improving yourself? This is found evident in the Bible in Proverbs 13:20, which says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." Fortunately for me, I was put into this exact situation as a freshman in high school. Prior to ninth grade, I didn't have any idea of what I wanted to do with my life. All I was worried about was having fun, winning the flag football league in PE, and making sure to secure my spot at the lunch table before it ran out of space. Thankfully, as I joined the cross-country team that year, I quickly found my five people that God put into my life, and little did I know how much they would change me. The first person to have a direct impact on me was Ryan Iyer, junior at the time. Being a timid freshman, I was relieved to be welcomed with open arms by Ryan to the team. Throughout the course of the next year, Ryan and I grew closer, and he ultimately became a mentor for me for the next 2 years. One of the most impressive things that Ryan displayed in his life was his ability to balance his academics with his social life and athletics. When I found out his senior year that all seven of his periods were filled with AP classes, I was surprised that he had friends at all. Yet he finished the year as valedictorian and was as socially active and athletically dedicated as anyone else at the school. Ryan now attends Columbia University in New York City, and whenever he is home, we make it our duty to spend time with each other. The second person who impacted me as a freshman was Anna Marion Block. Ever since middle school, Anna Marion had been one of the best runners in the country. Her name had been echoed throughout the campus of Athens Academy ever since I came into middle school, and when meeting her, I'm not afraid to say I was a bit starstruck. Although we didn't immediately form a friendship in the way I did with Ryan, I was inspired by Anna Marion's hard work throughout my freshman year, and particularly how she always kept a smile on her face, even when things were getting tough. I don't know if I would have ever found my athletic motivation if it wasn't for Anna Marion and her showing me the countless opportunities that running could give you. Anna Marion now runs cross country and track for the University of Georgia. The third person who affected me my freshman year was Jay Bangle, who I watched deliver his Youth Sunday sermon here last year. As a freshman, I was immediately struck by Jay's incredible perseverance as a runner. Jay, whose love of running reaches higher than anyone I know, was constantly plagued by nagging injuries throughout his entire high school career. Because of this love, Jay never threw in the towel. I watched as Jay continued to cross train throughout his 3 years left in high school. Biking, swimming, physical therapy. His dedication had no end. The memory of Jay I'll always remember was his first race back after 3 years of injury as a senior, where he went out and ran one of the fastest 5Ks of his life, showing me the gift of perseverance and how it can be attained. Jay now attends the University of Georgia, where he runs on the club cross-country team with the same dedication he's had his entire life. The fourth person that was put into my life my freshman year was Alex Branch. Alex, like all the previous people, taught me many lessons throughout my 3 years in high school with him. Particularly, Alex was a mentor of mine ever since freshman year. Alex constantly challenged me to work harder, think harder, and strive to be a better person in general. He showed me how he moves through life with a hard work ethic, yet still manages to enjoy every moment. Alex now attends the University of Georgia and is roommates with Jay Bangle. Lastly, the person who arguably helped me the most in becoming the person I am today is Neville Anderson, my cross-country and track coach. Coach Anderson has stood by my side ever since I was a freshman and has invested an unfathomable amount of time into me, all for free. If it weren't for Coach Anderson's guidance these past 4 years, I wouldn't be in the position I am today. Ultimately, the goals Coach Anderson has helped me reach throughout high school would have never even been met if it wasn't for him, and much less even set in the first place. Of course, these are only five people that have helped me become the person I am, when in reality I've been touched by thousands of people. My parents, my siblings, and the people that have been around me my entire life have impacted me just as much as these five individuals. As in our scripture, Mark 6:7, Jesus wasn't able to do his ministry alone. He sent out his disciples two by two to spread the word of God. It's essential for people to rely on each other, as Jesus did with his disciples, helping each other to strive to be the best we can, both spiritually and or in more secular endeavors. Either way, relying on each other is vital. As put in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
Hi, I'm Celeste Covington. When I began to study the scripture for today's Sunday, I was drawn to the courage of the disciples as they followed Jesus into the unknown. As a natural introvert, my happy place is with my closest friends on my couch watching TV, but throughout high school, I've been pushed out of my comfort zone and have been amazed by what God has led me to through these experiences. Even giving the sermon is one of those experiences in a small way, as I am incredibly nervous about public speaking, but I am sure I will get something surprising out of this experience that I wouldn't be able to anticipate. Over my high school career, I've been pushed into the unknown in a variety of different ways, and each time I've been led by God to discover something that has led me to as a person, as a friend, and in my faith. Summer before my sophomore year, I went on a Moondance trip to Morocco. Moondance is a group that provides trips for teenagers from across the country, to push themselves in leadership and service. I went on this trip only knowing one person, and I returned with many new friends and an exposure to a completely different culture. When we arrived in a small mountain town in Morocco, which was the base for our hike up Mount Koukal, we were exposed to a lifestyle totally different from ours, where religion was at the forefront of everyone's daily lives. From the women's clothing to the daily national prayer played over the government loudspeakers, their approach to religion was extremely different from anything I'd ever seen, as it impacted so many aspects of the physical daily lives of the people of Morocco. This caused me to reflect on the strength of my faith, as well as ignite my interest in religion across the globe and the history of these religions. Through this interest, I've broadened my understanding of religion, which has positively impacted my faith by giving me comfort in how my beliefs can live in harmony with the beliefs of others and the teaching of the other religions I admire. On this trip, I expected the great independence and the friends I made to be the main takeaway, but the exposure to this completely different culture was really important to my growing understanding of the world and my developing faith. While in Morocco, God led me to better understand the faith of others and thus grow in my own faith and understanding of what I believe. The next summer, I yet again was sent into the unknown, this time on our church's intergenerational mission trip to Honduras. On this trip, I ironically found myself finding a deep appreciation for our church community at home. As the only youth on my work crew, I had a wonderful time getting to know Mr. D. Maria and Miss Osborne as we worked together doing everything from mixing concrete to carrying cinder blocks and water jugs, which was very difficult, and they really outdid us in that. Seeing their work ethic and their understanding of why they were serving was impactful on my reflection of why I was there. that trip having quality time to further get to know all the adults on the trip and seeing their faith and dedication to our church showed me how strong our congregation is. Being able to grow closer to these members of our church gave me more models to base my faith off of and take away from. While in Honduras, God helped me discover how lucky I've been to grow up in the supportive church community and led me to adults who I can model my faith after. As I go off to college next year, I know the opportunities for stepping into the unknown will only increase. I hope that I can have the courage of the disciples to trust God through my journey into the unknown, even when it will be rocky. The disciples were dedicated and believed in Jesus and God's word, so they ventured out into the world to spread the good news. The courage they had to stemmed from their belief that God was with them wherever they went. In Joshua 1:9, God says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." I hope that as I continue into the unknown, I will grow to be strong with God by my side.
Good morning. My name is Maddie DeMaria. For the past couple of years, our youth group has challenged ourselves with epiphany words at the beginning of each and every new year. After starting high school, my epiphany word was support. I remember looking at the laminated cardstock and thinking, I support people, I'm a good friend, what is God going for here? Miss Kim, noticing my perplexed expression, offered that it was possible that God could be hinting that I myself needed to be supported. But I didn't buy into this. I didn't understand why support was my word, and I was reluctant to understand why I needed to receive it. And that's where two very special friends came in, Brayden and Amelia. Thanks to our school scheduler, I was assigned to classes with both of these siblings during my freshman year at Clark Central. In my second period Spanish class, I got to know Amelia, a tall, sassy, confident, and persistent senior. As an upperclassman, she took freshman Maggie under her wing, teaching how to survive the ins and outs of Clark Central as such a large school. In my seventh period English class, I got to know Brayden, goofy, sports-obsessed, intentional, and incredibly tall freshman. Standing a foot taller than me, he always made sure that I saw the holes in the crowded hallways so that I made it to class before the tardy bell. Since my freshman year, these two have exemplified what it means to be a forever friend, a forever best friend. Whenever something small happens, we let each other know. Whenever something big happens, like some of our recent college acceptances, we let each other know, sometimes before we even tell our parents. My relationships with Amelia and Brayden are great examples of how God often knows what we need before we do. God picked support as my epiphany word, and this allowed me to be open to the friendship and support of these two friends, and God knew I needed it before I did. For the past 2 years, I've had the privilege to serve on the 2019 Montreat Youth Conference planning team. My team worked and planned our two specific weeks of the conference, but we worked with a larger team of around 50 people to build the overarching plan for the 6-week program this summer. My area of focus for the conference was training and working with adult small group leaders. The foundation of the Montreat Youth Conference is the Time in Small Group, or a group of 30 young people from different churches across the country randomly assigned to be together for the week. In small group, the leader guides the youth through activities, scripture, and team bonding to break down the conference theme. A large portion of my time on planning team was devoted to teaching the leaders about their manual or guide for the week, supporting the leaders through any bumps in the road, and ensuring that the small groups conference-wide were being run smoothly and effectively. As a 16-year-old, this should have created a weird dynamic. Traditionally, you don't find young people tasked with leading adults, but they accepted me and treated me as if I were one of them. When they had a challenging situation in small group, I was there to listen and to check in. When I was having some troubles of my own, they sat and listened to what I had to say. We were truly there to make each other's experiences better, and we were able to mutually support one another. Since then, I've stayed in close touch with many planning team adults and small group leaders. While I learned a lot from creating and working a conference for about 2,500 people, the biggest takeaway from my 2.5 weeks were the friendships that were made. Not only were these working relationships, but they were also mutually supportive, lifelong friendships that I trust God has put in my life for a reason. In recent months, I've spent a lot of time thinking about how I will continue to foster these important relationships that I've created over the past 4 years. Well, I know that many of my people are only a text or phone call away. Naturally, I'm afraid of losing them. I have found comfort in knowing that many of the relationships I've fostered at Montreat have stayed strong since we went our separate ways. The distance, whether it's to Cincinnati, Knoxville, San Jose, or even Puerto Rico, hasn't held us back from continuing to support one another. This year, the epiphany word that God has challenged me with is deliberate. Again, just like last time, I looked at Miss Kim in complete and utter confusion, but I'm finding that everything fits together. God is asking that I deliberately make decisions to keep my friendships afloat and thriving. God is asking that I deliberately step outside of my comfort zone and look for new ways to keep important people in my life. God is asking that I deliberately work to make new lifelong friendships in college, and I look forward to trusting what new people God places in my path.
Hey, my name is Georgia Blue Simmons, and I literally need my friends to get through the day. I've learned that I can't do it by myself, and the it is life. We weren't meant to live alone. I tried to handle a very difficult event in my life by myself. I didn't want to talk about it, and I sure didn't want to talk to you about it. It hurt, and I didn't know how to handle it. I thought I was supposed to know how to handle it. I thought it would get better with time, and while time helped, it wasn't enough. I had to talk to people. I had to share what I was going through. It wasn't until I shared that I started feeling better. And I'm not completely better. I still have to share with people about this event. But it's not just the big things. It's the everyday trials of life. And it's not just the trials. Just like sharing the hard things makes them easier, sharing the good things makes them even better. Part of the prompt for this sermon was to describe my motley group of friends, because the disciples weren't perfect either, but Jesus chose them anyways. One of my close friends is a fabulous student. She's incredibly disciplined and wants to be a doctor. Another dropped out of school, wants to be a musician, and doesn't really know what her next step is. I could go on about my diverse group of friends. Some follow traditional paths, and others make their own. But what's great about it is we don't have to be alike. And what is even better is that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect to be helpful. We just have to be present. When I think of being present, I think of mindfulness. Today, so much is said about mindfulness. All I really know about mindfulness is keeping my mind where I am. To be focused on who I am with, who I'm with, rather than thinking about what I need to do. To be focused on my friends' joys when that is what they are experiencing, their difficulties when that's what's happening. When I picture Jesus, he is talking to you like you are the only person in the world. He is focused on you, right here, right now. Whenever I'm talking to my dad on the phone, and I ask him, "Where are you?" He says, "I'm here. I'm always here. Where are you?" And as irritating as it is, and let me tell you, it can be irritating, here is where I need to be. Wherever I am, whoever I'm with, that is where I need to be. I think that is where we are all called to be.
Hi, I'm Turner Trapnell. In the Mark 6 scripture reading, we learn that Jesus sends out his disciples in pairs of two to go do his work and have power over impure spirits. He sends them in pairs and he demands that they bring nothing with them but what they had on. What he is effectively saying here to me is, as Christians, we don't need extra stuff in life if we have good friends surrounding us. When you have friends and you're spending time with them, you aren't as concerned about the other stuff. I've learned a lot about friendship in the last 4 years. Before ninth grade, my family moved to Athens from Atlanta. And when people ask me if I miss Atlanta, it's always the same answer: no. I don't miss sitting in traffic for 20 minutes on the way to school that's only 3 miles away. But the answer also is always that I miss my friends. I miss getting to see the friends that I grew up with every day. Early on, before we moved, I knew a few people from Athens, so I wasn't super worried about making friends. But as I moved to Athens and got accustomed to high school, I sort of realized that it doesn't just happen. You don't just make friends. You have to put time and effort into it. And making friends was not as easy as I had expected. While people were certainly nice to you, it is easy to just assimilate into a friend group that has been together for years. Think about your friends now, and how even if you might make a new work friend or a new church friend, they often aren't immediately accepted into your group of lifelong friends. It's a process. And I had never really thought about this, so it was hard. And at times, I sort of gave up trying to even have friends in my new town. I thought, you know what, I've already got such good friends. Even if I don't get to see them much, it's fine. I don't need any more. I'm good. What I came to realize, and what is written here in Mark, is this. We all need friends. It is human nature, and it is how God intended us to live. I think when it comes to friends, the more the merrier. In the Mark scripture reading, Jesus goes on to tell his disciples before he sends them out that they should stay in houses wherever they went, and any place that would not welcome them, they should leave and shake the dust off their feet as a testimony against them. I find this to be applicable to my experience with moving, because when you are in a new place, you don't really know where you might find a friend or who you might find a friend in. Similarly to the disciples who didn't really know where they were going to stay, but had to keep searching anyway. What I learned is that you can get so much out of everyone you meet, and that it doesn't hurt to be a friend to anyone you can be a friend to. Meeting new friends is something that is important in life, and I've also learned that a lifelong relationship with a friend is one of the most rewarding experiences anyone can have. I'm fortunate enough to be able to keep in touch with a lot of my friends from Atlanta, and I'm so grateful for that because I know that the longer you have friends, the more you learn about each other and learn how to be a good friend. The more friends that you have, the more experience you have being a good friend, and that's very important. Being a good friend is hard sometimes, and it's more difficult than just being a good person. Because it's not hard to be nice to people you don't know and just see them as a passerby. You can hold the door for people, smile at them, pick up a piece of trash on the sidewalk, and all of that makes you a good person. But being a good friend involves 24/7 patience, attention, and care. You have to deal with arguments and fights, rough patches in your friendships, and you have to be able to listen and understand what your friends are going through. And so having friends for a long time can help you be better at being a good friend. And being a good friend is what Jesus wants all of us to do, as he says here himself, that friends are all we need. Nothing else, no money or fancy clothes or cars or expensive houses, just the sandals on your feet and a friend. So what I say to you now is go out and make new friends. Keep your friendships going that you've had for a long time, because you never know when you might be desperately needed or when you might desperately be in need.